We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint,
batteries,
tools,
toilet paper,
extension cords, grocery items,
hardware for my cabinets,
snack items, crackers, and some canned good stuff,
shop vac supplies,
toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this beautiful, comprehensive dua between al-rukn al-yamani, between the Yemeni corner, and between al-hajr al-aswad, between the black stone. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And when you say it, you feel this incredible peace of mind. So what is it about this dua and about this approach to dua that makes it so special? Just like how on the day of Arafah, while the main prize is being protected and freed from the fire, but you don't stop there. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us that we're asking a Lord who is generous, and so don't stop at one point of your journey or at one part of your existence. Instead, cover it all comprehensively, because you are calling upon a Lord who can forgive you and who can grant you everything that you want wherever you are. And so we find that when the du'as of the Prophet ﷺ are taught in the most comprehensive way, they include this life and the next. And the first category of this is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for safety in this life and the next. And there's a beautiful story where Al-Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who's the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he summons the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his nephew, and he asks the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a dua that he can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that will basically cover everything. And you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his nephew, and so he's got special access, right? And he's thinking like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to give him this magical dua, the wording of which he's never heard, and it's going to put him in a certain standing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that maybe other Muslims don't have access to, right? The special dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to teach him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Al-Abbas, salillah al-afiyah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for safety. So Al-Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu came back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after a few days, and he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the same question, almost to say like, that's not enough, give me something more. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once again said, salillah al-afiyah fi dunya wal-akhirah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for safety in this life and the next. If Allah grants you safety in this life and the next, then you are protected. That's all that you need. And no one is granted safety in the next life, except that that necessitates that they are from the people of Jannah as well. So, O uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and by extension, O ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ask Allah for safety in this life and the next. And there are so many different stories of where the Prophet ﷺ is teaching different members of the ummah that this dua, that this approach to dua is really that comprehensive. It really does cover all of your bases. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that there was a man who made a dua in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, O Allah, you have not given me enough money to where I can give sadaqah. So give me anxiety, give me trials and tribulations, so that I can earn the reward of those trials and tribulations. Now keep in mind here, by the way, this is a flawed approach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, period, right? The dua represents something about how you view your Lord. Like, I don't have money to give, so test me. Like, take something from me. And that's as if to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't give you without putting you through severe trial and tribulation. That's not the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to approach Him. And in one narration, this is a man who's so sick that Anas radiallahu anhu says that when we went to visit him, he looked like a bird whose feathers had been plucked, like he's about to die. And as the Prophet ﷺ approaches him, he says to him, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for health. And the young man responds, and he says, Allahumma ma anta mu'adhibi bihi fil akhirah, fa'ajjilhu fid dunya. O Allah, whatever you intend to punish me with in the hereafter, hasten it for me in this life. And the Prophet ﷺ says, Subhanallah, لا تستطيعه أو لا تطيقه. You wouldn't be able to handle it. What kind of a dua is that? That what you intend to punish me with in the hereafter, punish me with it here. And it might be well-intentioned, but it's a flawed approach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ said, instead say, Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. O Allah, give us the best of this life and the best of the hereafter and protect us from the fire. And Anas radiallahu anhu says, on top of that, the Prophet ﷺ made dua for his health and the man's health was restored. And he learned this dua from the Prophet ﷺ that didn't just give him a new dua, but gave him a proper approach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a whole. Tariq ibn Ashyam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that we used to go and visit the Prophet ﷺ, and on one occasion, a man and a woman came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah, what should we say when we pray? And the Prophet ﷺ said, say, Allahumma ighfirli warhamni wahdini warzuqni. O Allah, forgive me, have mercy on me, guide me, and provide for me. Very simple. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when they went to visit that man, as he is now an old man, and a group comes from Iraq, they come to see Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and they ask Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu for a dua, and Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu teaches them, Allahumma ighfir lana warhamna wa atina fi dunya hasana wa fi al-akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. O Allah, forgive us and have mercy on us and give us the best of this life and the best of the hereafter and protect us from the punishment of the fire. The narration says that this group of people from Iraq, like they're meeting Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, they asked him for more. Like, that's a great dua, but that's something that any average Muslim can learn. And Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, listen, if you get this, then it would cover everything that you want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. So it's not always about the increase of words. It's about knowing the one that you're calling upon and then asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of those things to be combined for you. And that's why Allah azza wa jal gives us this dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. O Allah, give us the best of this life and the best of the hereafter and protect us from the fire. Dear brothers and sisters, I just want you to keep in mind that there's a proportionality in this dua that also speaks to our concern. SubhanAllah, if you took this dua, 2/3 of the dua are in regards to the hereafter, and 1/3 of it is in regards to this dunya. And the way that you make dua, the concern that you have in dua, actually says a lot about your priorities. So if you think about the amount of dua that you make for your dunya, for this life, versus the amount of dua that you make for the hereafter, what does that equation look like for you? And if you find that it's skewed, then don't stop making dua. Instead, increase the dua that you make for the hereafter and try to do the things that connect you to the hereafter more. And just as we've said that you cannot properly understand divine decree if you don't know the destination of Jannah that you want to go to, likewise, you cannot understand the mercy of your Lord if you don't have in your heart a longing for Him and an understanding of why He put you here in the first place. When you call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these sincere, short du'as that might seem insufficient in terms of words, realize that you could literally change your entire world, your entire hereafter, and the world and hereafter of someone else, so long as you are sincere and so long as you know the one that you are calling upon. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the best of this life and the best of the hereafter, and protect us from the fire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us all with our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in al-Firdaus al-A'la, so that we can celebrate the true Eid together. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullahu khayran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وآتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اغفر لي وارحمني واهدني وارزقني.
We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bearing witness that none has the right to be worshipped or unconditionally obeyed except for Him. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His final messenger. We ask Allah to send His peace and blessings upon Him, the prophets and messengers that came before Him, His family and companions that served alongside Him, and those that follow in His blessed path until the Day of Judgment. Allahumma ameen. Dear brothers and sisters, we begin today by saying, Allahumma balighna laylatul qadr. O Allah, allow us to arrive, to witness, to observe, to honor the night of power, laylatul qadr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to catch it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us amongst those who are deprived on its day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are forgiven entirely for their sins. Allahumma ameen. And I actually wanted to go back to a narration that Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates from our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the very beginning of Ramadan. And I want you to imagine the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascending the pulpit on the very first night of Ramadan, ascending the pulpit to give a declaration at the very beginning of this month of Ramadan. So put yourself in Medina, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to announce what is most important about this month, and he stands up sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, inna hadha ash-shahra qad halarakum wa fihi laylatun khayrun min alf shahr man hurimaha faqad hurima al-khayra kullah wa la yuhramu khayraha illa mahrum. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stands up on the very first night of Ramadan, or on the first day of Ramadan, meaning in its very beginning, and he says sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this month has come upon you, that this month has come upon you. And in this month, there is a single night that is better than 1,000 months. And whoever is deprived of its goodness has been deprived of all goodness, and no one is deprived except for one who is indeed deprived, mahrum. There's so much to unpack from this hadith, but to start off with the very idea that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he introduces Ramadan, he chose one thing to focus on in this narration. As if he's telling you sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the very beginning of Ramadan, the hunt is on. You have to be looking for that night. And everything about this month is about finding the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no night in this month in which more people are forgiven than this night. And every single thing about this month is about barakah, is about blessing and finding moments of increase. And there is no night of increase like this night in this month. Do not miss out on this month, and specifically don't miss out on this night. There's so much to unpack here. Number one, the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling you that the whole month is indeed surrounding one night. And so if a person feels, as they look back on the first 20 days and say, I don't feel like I did my best, the prize of the month is still ahead of you. Inna alladhi tatluhu amamak, as Jibreel alayhi salam would say to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not know if Laylatul Qadr had been achieved yet, that which you seek is still ahead. And so that which you seek is still ahead. No matter what happened in the first two-thirds of the month, that which you seek is still ahead, which is the forgiveness of your Lord and that powerful night, the night of decree. The second thing, dear brothers and sisters, that we unpack from it is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at the one who is deprived on that night. How much do you have to miss out on to miss out on that night? What a state you have to be in to miss out on that night. But here's the thing. If you read that hadith at surface level, then you can take the notion of deprivation in all sorts of directions. And so I actually want to spend a little bit of time with this. What does it mean to be mahroom? What does it mean to be deprived on that night? What counts as being deprived? Because remember that the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا يَمُوتَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يُحْسِنَ الظَّنَّ بِاللَّهِ. No one of you should die except that they have a good opinion of Allah. You're supposed to think well of Allah. In fact, the dua, the supplication that you are repeating throughout the night of Laylatul Qadr is an expression of husn al-dhan billah, is an expression of a good opinion of God. So it's really interesting because the Prophet ﷺ is saying that the best deed you can die with is a good opinion of Allah. And the dua that you make, the supplication that you make on that night is an expression of a good opinion of Allah, which is what? Allahumma innaka afu. Oh Allah, you are the forgiving one. Tuhibbul afwa. You love to forgive. Fa'afu anni. So forgive me. How beautiful is that? The best deed, the best dua, the best night. Oh Allah, you are the forgiver. You love to forgive. That's an expression of husn al-dhan billah, a good opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I expect good from my Lord. So don't come into these last 10 nights thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is setting you up for failure. No, the fact that you're here, the fact that you have these 10, the fact that you have the intention to try to catch Laylatul Qadr is a sign of good things if you respond in a good way. So who is the one that is mahroom? Who is the one that's forbidden? And the scholars say if you plug this hadith, many of the scholars of hadith said if you plug this hadith into the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, where the Prophet ﷺ once again ascends the minbar, and the minbar of the Prophet ﷺ had its two steps to the top. And so every step that he took, he said, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. I told you to imagine the Prophet ﷺ in the very beginning of the month giving this bushra, this glad tiding, that if you catch this night, it is better than 1,000 months. Here, the Prophet ﷺ is ascending the pulpit, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. And what was the context? He said, Jibreel alayhi salam, the angel Gabriel, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا, the one who comes down on the night of power with all of the angels to come and record the worship and the forgiveness of the servants. Jibreel came upon me and he made dua against, he supplicated against, خَابَ وَخَسَرْ أَبْعَدَهُ اللَّهُ وَأَدْخَلَهُ النَّارِ. Multiple narrations here. He is distant from God and entered into Jahannam. Who? And he said three things. The very first one, مَنْ دَخَلَ عَلَيْهِ رَمَضَانِ وَلَمْ يُخْفَرْ لَهُ. Who Ramadan comes upon and he is not forgiven. Many of the scholars said, if you take this hadith of Laylatul Qadr, the very first one, and plug it into this one, then the explanation of that would be a person who was present in Ramadan and present with Laylatul Qadr, present with that night that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, and is deprived, i.e. not forgiven. Is deprived, mahroom, meaning they are not forgiven. So Jibreel alayhi salam is one who is honored by that night and who honors us by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that night. And it's saying, what a failure, what a deprived person who has Ramadan enter upon them and leave them without being forgiven. Now mention the other two things because it'll help you put into context what a mahroom person is, what a deprived person looks like. The second thing he mentioned, the one who you are mentioned in the presence of, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they don't send salawat upon you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad. They don't send peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It has two things that are embedded in that. Number one, and I'm going to say, by the way, that it is shameful, aib. It's truly shameful to hear someone whose mother tongue is even Arabic. And the first time they mention Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they say, An-Nabi Muhammad, oh Muhammad, and they don't say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the first time. Bukhul. It's bakhil. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned it as stinginess. What type of stinginess is that? You love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The man was the vehicle by which you have revelation, the purpose of life, and you hear his name and you don't say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You say his name like you say the name of a brother, you say the name of a friend or someone in the street or someone that you're reading in the history books. It's shameful. What a stingy person. What an ungrateful person who hears the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and does not invoke Allah's peace and blessings upon him. That's our adab, our manners with the prophets, right? The vehicles of Allah's mercy to us. And this man sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you want to be from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What a bakhil person, what a stingy human being who finds it okay to just throw his name around. And again, someone even whose mother tongue is Arabic, it's one of the weirdest things in the world. I actually had a convert point it out to me the very first time. He was shocked. He's like, this person speaks Arabic as his native tongue, and he's saying Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam without saying sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What's going on here? Why? Because you just reduce him. So that means you're stingy and ungrateful, and you're missing out on a simple deed. Because sending salawat on the Prophet ﷺ is such a means of elevation. Why would you miss out on something so easy for yourself? So at least the first time in your conversation, when the Prophet ﷺ is brought up, you send salawat on him ﷺ. Afterwards, it's voluntary, and if you increase, it's good for you. And the third person was who? The one whose parents reach old age in their presence, and they don't honor them. It's one thing when a child doesn't understand the fadl of the parents, the virtue of the parents over them. It's another thing when you get older and you see your parents' age. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that either one of your parents or both of your parents. But it's another thing when your parents are elderly and you still have the same behavior towards them and you're not doing the bare minimum of al-birr. Honoring them, honoring their position upon you, makes you stingy and ungrateful, like you're trying to miss out. Allah has put such a presence of reward in front of you. You're trying to miss out. Let's connect this back to who is the mahroom person. Who is the person who's deprived on Laylatul Qadr? Because these are characteristics of a deprived person, of a mahroom. Is the one who is mahroom, the one who sleeps a few extra hours on Laylatul Qadr because, you know, they have work the next day or they got really tired, they intended to come to the masjid at 3 a.m., but they ended up sleeping until 3:45. Does that person wake up and say, I'm mahroom, and cry and say that I did not catch Laylatul Qadr? Is mahroom the sister that can't pray the night of Laylatul Qadr because of circumstances out of her control? Is the mahroom the person who has a health issue or has a sickness to where they just can't stand up during the night and pray? Is the mahroom a person who doesn't read too much Quran on that night? Is a mahroom a person who doesn't make enough dua on that night? None of those things are true. First of all, the Prophet ﷺ said that if a person intends a good deed but they are withheld from it because of sickness or travel, meaning a circumstance out of their control, then Allah records for them that act of worship as if they would have done it perfectly. That's a good opinion of Allah. Allahumma innaka afu tuhibbul afwa. Because Allah loves to reward and Allah loves to forgive. So you put that away. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade you from one form of good on that night, He's recorded it for you inshaAllah ta'ala. Exert yourself in the other forms of good. The mahroom is a person who is absolutely negligent. And the scholars say two things make a person mahroom. Number one, not establishing the obligations of that time. And that's why I said, Sa'id Musayyib said, whoever prays Isha and Jama'ah, just pray Isha. At least start there. Pray Isha and Fajr. Right? Whoever fails the obligations of that night, and two, whoever sins on that night. You might be thinking, I'm not going to be sinning on Laylatul Qadr. But what a mahroom person you would be to fight with a security guard, fight with one of the masjid volunteers, or fight with the musalli as you're walking in, or start, you know, see someone out in the parking lot at 4 a.m. after you finished your night of prayer, and then you're talking to that person, and you say, hey, you heard about that person, and throw a sly comment towards them. What a mahroom person you would be to, and I don't know, I hope no one in this masjid would do this, to be on social media backbiting someone or looking around, you know, with the sins of the eyes during that night of Laylatul Qadr, what a mahroom person you would be. What a deprived person. So deprivation is not doing the bare minimum and sinning. Meaning what? That means that if you are just present and you just fulfill the obligations, the bare minimum, and you don't commit sins intentionally, inshallah ta'ala, you caught Laylatul Qadr. That's a good opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't, you know, sit there and be depressed at the end of the night and say, you know, I don't think I caught Laylatul Qadr and I'm mahroom. No. And there are multiple narrations to this I can't get into for the sake of time. But here's the second part of that. The second part of that is that some of the scholars mention that catching Laylatul Qadr means simply not being mahroom, not being deprived on that night, and it's khayru min alfi shahr, it's better than 1,000 months. But they said on top of that, every deed that you do is multiplied accordingly. So this is where al-mazid min al-ta'a comes in, to increase in the good deeds. Every dhikr is multiplied as if you're doing it 1,000 months. Every prayer, every dua is as if you're doing it 1,000 months. How beautiful and powerful is that? And so you got that bare minimum entrance. Have a good opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And say that dua and mean it. I have a good opinion of you, O Allah, that if I reach these last 10 nights and I am present and I'm not negligent, inshallah ta'ala, I'm written amongst those who got Laylatul Qadr, but I don't want to just get Laylatul Qadr. I don't want just one lifetime of good deeds. I want more and more and more and more. It's like the scholars when they mention Hajj, the logic of Hajj. The Hajj has the acceptance, but still every letter that you read, or the Umrah that you go to, every letter of Quran that you read, the tears that you shed, the du'as that you make, that's on top of that, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And so truly come into these 10 nights. Allahumma innaka afuwan tuhibbul afwa, fa'afu anni. Allahumma innaka afuwan kareemun tuhibbul afwa, fa'afu anni. Oh Allah, you are forgiving, you are generous, you love to forgive, so forgive me. May Allah not make us amongst the deprived. May Allah not make us amongst the negligent. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be amongst those who are fully forgiven on that night and forbidden from the fire. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'il muslimin fastaghfiru innahu wal ghafur rahim. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب دعوات اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا ولا تعذبنا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم اغفر لوالدينا رب ارحمهما كما ربونا صغارا ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم أصلح أحوال إخواننا المنكوبين في فلسطين اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في غزة اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم عليك بأعدائك أعداء الدين اللهم أهلك الظالمين بالظالمين وأخرجنا وإخواننا من بينهم سالمين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزد لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.
There's a constant emphasis in Islam on seeking to be in a position where you're helping others rather than needing the help of others. Al-yadu al-ulya khayru min al-yadu al-sufla. The upper hand is better than the lower hand. That mindset should have an akhirah component too, a hereafter component too. Like, I can't look at my own self and be like, I can afford to slack because I know my parents or my spouse or my children will bail me out. I just need to get to Jannah, maybe the lowest level, and then hopefully they can be that booster. You want to aim to be the one that gets to the highest place and then brings everyone up with you. You want to be in such a comfortable place on the Day of Judgment that you are interceding on behalf of others rather than needing their intercession. Now, to some extent,
All of us need the intercession of one man, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But there's a world of difference between a unanimous and a split decision victory, or someone who's hoping for that last testimony to sway in their favor, and someone who has a chorus of voices on their behalf on the Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment, shafa'a is greater than shahada. Intercession is greater than witnessing. Now, most of the scholars say it's just another level of witness, but the difference is clear and powerful. See, almost anyone can be a witness on the Day of Judgment, but very few can be an intercessor on the Day of Judgment.